Welcome to the Illuminated Path podcast. I'm your co-host, Kate.
And I'm your co-host, John.
We are business and life partners and the founders of New Moon Holistic Life.
We created this podcast for those who are feeling stuck and burned out in life, but aren't sure where to start making changes.
We're here to guide you on a transformative journey towards holistic well-being and to find the balance and happiness that you seek.
Join us as we explore the path to wellness one episode at a time. Medical disclaimer. This podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not serve as medical advice. Kate and John are not medical professionals. This podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, or prevent any illness. Always consult your physician before making lifestyle changes. Welcome back to the Illuminated Path. This is episode 29. What are we talking about today?
Today is a fun, different episode. We are talking all about coffee.
Coffee.
John has a song.
Coffee, coffee. Wow. Need my coffee.
I'm surprised you just did that. He says that to me almost every morning. So
yeah, if we don't have coffee in the house, I start singing that song until Kate says, yes, we can go get coffee at a coffee shop. How's the week?
The week is good. The day this episode is dropping, my 21-day breathwork and self-talk challenge will have been live for a week. I've already gotten some good feedback. So if anyone isn't interested in joining, it's not too late. Everything is still available from day one. So newmoonholisticlife.com/challenge. And I won't get too much into it because we've talked about it a few times, but just wanted to mention that it is available for you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Check it out.
Yeah. In other news, the day we're recording this, my sister and future brother-in-law's wedding shower is tomorrow. So there's been lots of planning and preparing for that. I hope it all goes well. It should be a really fun time. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And today, the day that we're recording, it is very beautiful out. The sun is shining and it's like a whole new world.
Yeah.
I'm ready for spring.
You keep saying you need to go charge your battery.
I literally walked outside this morning and I like took your arm. I was like, come on, I have something to show you. Yeah, actually, the day this episode drops is supposed to be 67 degrees.
Oh.
So I'll be outside that. All day.
Love the sound of that.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm soaking up the warmer weather and the sun, and that just feels amazing.
Yeah, we're ready.
So let's talk about coffee. I want to start this conversation by saying definitely do your own research. You know, we're going to leave some links, there's some clinical trials and things in the show notes, and some interesting studies and things that have been found. But when I talked to my naturopath about coffee, one of the things he said was coffee is something that, depending on the point the person is trying to illustrate, they'll reference different studies. I think that there's things we've heard about coffee that are great, things we've heard about coffee that are not so great. So I think that we start this conversation with just saying, do your own research. None of this is meant to shame. You know, as always, we're really just trying to give information. And I think that the best place to start this conversation is with sourcing and quality.
Yeah. So I just want to add to that, you know, again, we're just providing information. And as John just mentioned, we go to coffee shops. We are not perfect, but having this information, you know, helps us to make those decisions, to have that balance where we're not getting coffee from a coffee shop every single day, but, you know, we have better quality coffee, which we'll get into, at home, and, you know, try to have that more often. But we're human and we're not perfect. And you know, we have noticed a difference when we are all coffee shop coffee versus all at home coffee. So, yeah, there's just a lot to kind of talk about there.
Yeah. Do you want to start sharing more about sourcing?
Yeah. So one of the interesting things about coffee is that coffee can actually have mold and mycotoxins in them, in the coffee beans. So one of the things that we do for the coffee that we purchase at home is we get organic coffee that is tested for mold and mycotoxins. There are a lot of brands out there that do this, and it's just higher quality, better quality coffee. When you're drinking the coffee that does have mold and mycotoxins, there can be a lot of symptoms that, you know, you might experience if you're having that on a more regular basis, such as getting headaches, or just having more like fatigue, because, you know, if your body's starting to build up with those toxins, it can just affect you. It can provide you with brain fog.
Irritability and mood swings is one.
Can affect your gut a little bit worse. So yeah. When we are sourcing our coffee at home, we always buy organic coffee that is tested for mold and mycotoxins.
Yeah. And it's worth mentioning too, because we're always being exposed to some amount of toxins. So especially with coffee, where it's really common, you know, you can take that added precaution. We actually watched a documentary a while back. Mm. Don't remember what it was called. I know it was on Gaia, which is a really enlightening platform, if you haven't looked into Gaia. But the example they gave, it was a documentary on coffee. And they actually said, if they are importing coffee and they detect mold in it, in like the UK or Australia, they will actually say, we can't take this, take it to America. Because America doesn't have as stringent of, you know, a standard.
And regulations, yeah.
Right, in terms of importing coffee that may have mold on it. So it's a very common problem with coffee. Coffee does get mold. And that's something to consider when you go to, you know, those more mainstream brands that are every 5 miles apart. So we tend to like coffee from local coffee shops, specifically if it's like really sourced well. That's an important one. So mold is a big consideration. The other thing is really just like high quality coffee. I always give this example. I had a friend who took me to a really bougie coffee shop, and I paid like $8, $9 for a little cup of black coffee. And it was this like pour over coffee from Africa. It tasted nothing like any kind of coffee I've ever had. And he was like, don't put anything in it. Just try it.
Which you're not used to. You always put, right. You know, yeah.
And it's a very different taste. And so I think there's something to be said for like the mass processing that our coffee goes through. If you really start trying like high quality coffee that's sourced well, it actually tastes very different too.
Yeah. So speaking of quality.
Yep.
You know, the mainstream Dunkin' and Starbucks. You and I do have Starbucks on occasion.
Yep.
So, you know, I know that it's definitely not the highest quality. As far as Dunkin', I do not like Dunkin'. I don't think their coffee tastes like coffee. And so I can just really tell like the difference in that quality of coffee versus coffee at home. Or I do think Starbucks coffee tastes better than Dunkin', and just coffee at our local coffee shops.
Yeah. You know, years ago, my dad knew someone who owned a Dunkin', and he told him it's all profit. It only costs us 3 to 5 cents to make a cup of coffee.
Oh my gosh.
But really think about what that means in terms of the quality of the coffee and how it's sourced and how it's just mass produced and likely not tested for toxins. So
yeah,
something to think about for sure.
Yeah. Another thing to discuss about coffee is, so John and I really only drink cold brew, and we make it at home most of the time. But when we go out to a coffee shop, we're almost always getting cold brew because it's less acidic.
Yeah.
And again, like the quality, the difference of taste between like an iced coffee versus a cold brew.
Yeah,
is
true.
A very different, like we got an iced coffee somewhere recently and we were like, no, never again. Like it doesn't taste the same. It doesn't taste as good. And I don't, as far as like you and I are not hot coffee drinkers. I don't know if there's like a less acidic version of hot coffee, but it's something to consider. You know, some people, like if they're getting stomach aches or having difficulty with your coffee, maybe try a cold brew and see if that less acidic version sits with you better.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of getting into, is it good or bad? So we'll get there in just a second, but I think that you made a good point is like how you tolerate coffee is probably going to be the best determining factor of if it's okay for you or not, if it's good or bad. And that was something my naturopath said too, is like, it really depends if you're a person who, if you're getting jittery after you have it, a lot of people get anxious after they have coffee, the caffeine really hits them. That might be a sign you need to work on your adrenals a little bit. So there's kind of things that you'll notice. And I think, again, as anything we've said on this podcast, bring that awareness into how you react and how you're feeling after having it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, another component to that and to how you might be experiencing or reacting to the coffee is what you're putting in it.
Yeah.
So again, you and I are not perfect. You know, when we go to a coffee shop, we like a little flavor. We'll get that added sugar, knowing it's added sugar.
Yeah.
But when you get like the full amount of sugar, I honestly can't drink it because it is so sweet. I don't even taste the coffee anymore. And I like the taste of coffee. I just want like a little bit of sweetness flavor added. But we accidentally the other day.
Yeah, we always tell them half is sweet.
Yeah.
And the other day we got coffee. We forgot to tell them.
No, I did tell them. And I think they just messed up.
And they messed up. And like we got it. And we were like, whoa.
I almost threw it away. I did end up drinking it, but it was far too much. And then just from that, though, I noticed I was more dehydrated. I needed to like really drink my water more. I had to like really be mindful of that. So again, like something as simple as asking for half as sweet and you're still getting that flavor. And honestly, I really think it tastes better because you're getting more of that coffee flavor.
Yeah.
Can be huge. It cuts calories. It cuts sugar. It can affect your body a lot differently just by doing that simple switch.
Yeah. And like, I'm okay getting some of the sugar because that's really like the big place I have sugar in my diet. But we have the syrups here that I use and every pump is 6 grams of sugar. I will typically have 2 to 3 pumps. And if you go to a coffee shop, they typically use 4 to 6. That's a lot of sugar, especially if you're getting this in the morning. And we've talked about how that contributes to brain fog and a lack of focus, a reduced attention span. So having that glucose spike and a lot of sugar early in the morning is not going to help you. The other thing is creamers. So when we really started drinking a lot of coffee, oat milk started coming into the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll get some oat milk. We like that. I don't like almond milk because the aftertaste is weird. But oat milk spikes your glucose really bad.
Yeah.
And it's really not a great option, the great option it's been portrayed to be, especially when you consider that oats are heavily sprayed with glyphosate.
Right. So that could be, again, like causing other symptoms.
Right.
You might not even notice it or think that that could be, you know, what's causing things, but it is important to look at the creamer you're using. And some of these, you know, brands have so many ingredients.
Yeah.
There's just oils and gums and all these added preservatives. And like, then there's brands that it's 3 ingredients.
Yeah.
So there's really no need for all those extra ingredients. They just cause inflammation and responses in your body. So especially when you're making it at home, again, like there's better options out there that you can get.
And, you know, so we did coconut milk. That's kind of our go-to now. We make coconut milk at home. If you are adding creamer, keep an eye out for added sugar because that's really the big one. Like anything in America, they're pumping it full of sugar for no real reason.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by New Moon Apparel. New Moon Apparel is a motivational, zen, and moon-themed clothing line. Shop designs at newmoonapparel.com. So that kind of takes us then to, is it good or bad? We don't have an answer. like we said, it's really going to be a case-by-case basis, but we have some research articles to share, and I think it'll give some insight into what's going to make sense for you personally.
Can I mention the eating first thing before we get into good or
yes,
bad?
Because
it's
do.
Important. So something that I learned from my naturopath and is talked about a lot is eat your breakfast first.
Yeah.
Before you have coffee. It is very harsh on your gut and your gut lining if you're having coffee, especially because of how acidic it can be.
Yeah, especially if you're not having cold brew and you're having a much more acidic version.
Right. So
like you, hot coffee, sorry, pulls out a lot of the acidity.
So you want to eat first and then ideally actually wait about an hour from after you've woken up to then have your coffee, because that helps with your cortisol levels. Because when you wake up, your cortisol levels are at their absolute highest. And then if you have the coffee right away, it can actually cause those levels to spike, which is why people sometimes do feel anxious. So there are ways that you can, you know, continue having your cup of coffee and just changing the order in what you're having it or waiting a little bit longer. I know it's hard sometimes when you wake up and you have to wait to have your coffee, but give it a try and see if it changes something for you in the way that it affects your body or your mind or your gut. These are just some tips to try if you want to and see if you, you know, like doing it that way instead.
Yeah. So let's start with a Harvard study. So they studied people for a period of 7 years, an average of 7 years. They tracked these participants, and people who drank 1.5 to 3.5 cups per day, even with a teaspoon of added sugar per cup, were up to 30% less likely to die during the study period than those who didn't drink coffee. So I think take this with a grain of salt, right? Because there is some research to suggest you shouldn't have more than 2 cups a day.
But when they're talking about cups, they're talking about like an 8 ounce.
Right.
When you go to a coffee shop, if you get like
you get 20 ounce.
If you get a large, it's 20 ounces. So that counts as that is like 2.5 cups.
Right. So something to consider. There is another study that suggests that coffee drinkers have a lower risk of all-cause mortality. So I think that's it's an interesting thing to keep in mind, right? Mm-hmm. So there are potential benefits. Decreased mortality is the primary association that they're finding. A big one is type 2 diabetes. So there's studies that suggest coffee might be able to help you regulate your blood sugar a little bit better, which helps reduce risk of type 2 diabetes, which is a marker for cardiovascular disease.
Which is probably based on just the coffee, though, because if you're having coffee right. with a ton of sugar, it kind of negates that.
Yeah, so that's definitely a consideration, like what kind of sugar, what are you adding to it?
Yeah.
And then I thought this was a really interesting study. So this was published on the Washington Post. The link will be in the show notes. They found that coffee drinkers average about 1,000 steps more per day. However, they get less sleep.
Mm.
And they actually have a number, 36 minutes of nightly sleep on days when they drank coffee. They lost about 36 minutes of sleep. But they also discovered that the coffee that they drank, the more they drank, the less sleep they got. So there's a direct correlation. And I think that's an important consideration, especially when we talk about caffeine, because caffeine stays in us a lot longer than we really give it credit for. And, you know, like all growing up, I knew people who drink coffee right before bed and, you know, then they don't sleep well. But I don't know the exact half-life of caffeine. Again, do your own research, find that. But it's in you longer than, you know, just having it 2-4 hours before bed. So I know a lot of people use the rule like no caffeine after noon. That's a great rule. You know, if you're giving your body a solid 8-10 hours before you're trying to sleep, because that caffeine does stay in your system and it affects you for sure.
Yeah, I've heard like 6 to 8 hours is a more safe amount of time to like let the caffeine leave so that, you know, your body can produce its melatonin as expected and help you get into that normal sleep.
Right. So on the other side of the scale, it can temporarily raise your blood pressure. And we know a lot of people who get anxious after they drink caffeine. So it's kind of finding that out for yourself, right? If you're someone who gets really jittery after you have coffee, you know, maybe you take a break. The thing, I think you discussed this with your naturopath, that it's generally well tolerated if you cut it out and then you slowly reintroduce it.
Yeah.
That's something people have a lot of success with. If you're having trouble taking caffeine, drinking coffee, and it's affecting you negatively, cut it out for a little bit and then slowly reintroduce it. You put coffee enema in here. What's that about?
I thought you wanted to talk about it.
I don't have much to say. Coffee enema is fantastic. You have to, you know, it's like anything. You got to make sure you're using solid materials, silicone. You don't want warm coffee to be going through plastic tubes. You don't want it sitting in a plastic bucket. You generally want a stainless steel bucket. And again, always consult your physician before you're doing a coffee enema, but it helps a lot. And I think the big thing that I'm learning and that I'm seeing from people who have done it is that it helps get rid of like a plaque buildup in your intestines, which can be really beneficial.
Yeah.
My naturopath actually told me, he said that he had a colleague that believes coffee is more well tolerated through the rectum than through your intestines.
Interesting.
Yeah, it really helps, you know, especially your liver and detoxing. And
You still got that boost of energy too, right?
You do. You get a rush. You get a rush from it. It comes and goes, and you can't like, you're only supposed to hold it for like 12 minutes, because if any more than that, it becomes systemic absorption. And then you can like get a real rush. But yeah, it's an experience for sure, but it helps. You got to find the right coffee. You don't just grab any kind of coffee grounds and do it.
Again, organic.
Yep.
Tested for mold, specific for an enema.
Yep. Have to be tested for mold.
Yeah.
And there's a prep period. You have to boil it to a certain temperature because you're pulling out a specific acid. So it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I think that was just our fun coffee episode, and just wanted to provide you guys with the information. Do with it what you will. Again, none of this is ever meant to shame, but to provide you with the information that is not really out there, you know, it's just more normal to grab your Dunkin' coffee every day and never look at that as a potential for some symptoms you may be experiencing. So
yeah,
it's a place to start. It's a place to make small improvements, small tweaks that can really add up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll leave some notes. There's a 3 clinical studies, some research from Johns Hopkins University, Harvard, and then there's like 2 other referenced articles on like Washington Post and others. So there's some interesting things in terms of benefits to look at and also potential side effects or things to consider if coffee is affecting you negatively.
Yeah, but enjoy your coffee.
Otherwise, enjoy your cup of coffee. Friendly reminder, this podcast is sponsored by New Moon Apparel. That is our Zen motivation and moon-themed clothing line. You can shop designs at newmoonapparel.com.
Again, if you're interested in learning more or joining the 21-Day Breathwork and Self-Talk Challenge, you can find that information at newmoonholisticlife.com/challenge, or feel free to message me on Instagram at katemacri_, and I'll answer any questions you might have.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.